All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Yeah, come on. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, Bankstown? It's an FYF Friday because we are happy the weekend is right around the corner. The NBA draft is behind us. It was a little bit eventful. George Springer's okay. That's all right with us. Nick's here. Barry's here. We're all present and accounted for. So we're here for you for the next 3 hours, The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5. What's up, man?
What up, man? I'm feeling very passive-aggressive today.
Uh-oh.
Why?
I don't know. I just am. I'm throwing shade and feeling passive-aggressive. And
throwing shade where?
All over.
Okay.
Just, you know, tossing shade
stirring
around.
Stirring it up? Or?
No. It's just been an eventful and interesting week.
Yeah.
So I'm glad it's the weekend. I ain't going to lie.
Too.
You had quite the kerfuffle last night.
I knew you were going to bring that up.
And I just want to tell you that I got your back on the fact that you do watch a lot of college basketball. And I didn't want to get in the middle of it because that's two grown men having an argument. But I'm honest. You know that. If nothing else, I'll tell you how I feel.
Yep.
Now, I do agree with Lamont that you jumped in the middle of it. But the fact of the matter is you do watch a lot of college basketball. And to say you don't would be a lie.
Well, so here's the thing. So, and you're right. I did jump into
You shouldn't have done that.
But I don't know that I regret doing it because of the fact that, like, when we tweet things, everybody normally jumps in too.
Right.
But the comment was made, and when he made the comment, it was about folks who get excited about the NBA draft, but they only watch three games in March.
Which would be me.
Right.
I don't get excited about the draft, first of all, but I only watch three games in March.
I responded... With some exceptions, right?
Right.
And that's when he responded with a little attitude, going, no exceptions. And if you knew it, come on, man, you'd talk about it on the air and blah, 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 blah. And again, to the defense of our show, it's a three-headed show. And I know that you guys don't watch a lot. And I know Houston as a whole doesn't watch college basketball. It's just not their thing. So why would I force feed it on you guys during the year over and over? Now, sometimes it'll come up and you guys will ask a question or we'll talk about a certain big game. But just because I don't talk about it on the air doesn't mean that I'm not watching a ton of basketball in college basketball. And that was my point. And he kind of spun it because then Lance got into it this morning. And thankfully, Lance had my back and Lance was saying, I watch as much basketball as Lance watches tape on offensive linemen.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, well, but Lance talks about it on the air, you don't. And I'm like, but I would never do that to Nick and Barry because I know you guys aren't like, you know.
Well, I mean, I've told you guys, I'm not going to be, if you guys, because I know Nick, you watch college basketball too, right?
That is not nearly as, not much, as much as Joel.
But I'm saying if you guys, it's kind of like MMA, the way I see it.
Right.
If you two want to talk college basketball, I am certainly not going to discourage that or get in the way. So I don't want you to feel like you can't. You know what I mean? It's never been my thing.
Well,
I'm not going
to
do that.
But intelligently, we know it's not a Houston thing. I've talked to everybody from Charlie Polillo to Lance to Paul Gallant. As a whole, look at the attendance at Rice games, U of H games. Even when big-time national opponents come in, there are plenty of empty seats to be had. It's just not that big of a deal in this town, which is fine.
But I felt like it's going to sound like I'm coming off as defensive, but I felt like we hit the major storylines during the college basketball season.
Yeah.
I felt like the players that needed to be talked about, Joel expanded on. You expanded on a lot of the college players too, despite you
and
not
teams,
being the big...
And teams, right.
And teams. And I mean...
Yeah, I mean, I tried to make myself watch because it's my job now.
Sure,
but still,
right.
I'm like...
It's not like we just avoided it. I mean, I will be the first to admit that I was like, I don't even know if we could talk about college hoops until March or late February, I think, is when I told you guys, just because I felt like that's when the buzz starts.
Yeah. And I feel like you AJ and Raheel and probably Dell. I don't know how much Dell watches.
I don't either.
But he knows his stuff when it comes to college
betting or otherwise. He watches a good share.
Yeah. So, I mean, we have quite a few guys at this station that I think are into college basketball, into basketball in general,
right,
which would include college basketball. But again, it goes back to the fact, like you said, that it's not something that's going to drive everyday conversation.
Right.
But don't mistake that lack of talking about it because of we don't think that there's interest in it. To lack of knowledge. So then when it does come up that there's a draft, I mean, you guys watched enough to be able to comment on some of these players. Mm-hmm. And I'm seeing you when you don't know a guy. You'll be like, I don't know. I've not seen a lot of them. So I felt like it was unwarranted, but I do feel like you, all that said, I still feel like you brought it on yourself because you shouldn't have, you should have just not said anything.
In retrospect, I probably shouldn't have just jumped in, but it was like, look, don't lump everybody into the generalities that no one watches college basketball because I do.
You and your Twitter kerfuffles.
Yeah, but then, you know, the good news is like Lance then, you know, came right back and had, you know, just verified it. But it was funny because then it became his explanation to Lance was, no, the argument is, why don't you talk about it more on the air? No, really it wasn't. It was that the people that are fired up about the draft only watch 3 games a year.
Yeah.
That's what I responded to. And then it got into the on-air stuff as a way to spin it. But I was like, you know what? This is a ridiculous argument to have
and
anyway.
And weren't you fighting with Kurt Lowe yesterday also?
No, I actually was giving Kurt Lowe credit. And Nick, this is going to be really hard for
Never mind. I don't want to talk about
this. Really hard for
Never mind.
I was watching Big Ten. You guys know because of the Badgers, but I watched a lot of Big Ten basketball. There is a kid on Michigan that wasn't even, in my opinion, the best kid on Michigan. And during the year, Kurt Lowe went out and he said, this kid's going to be a lotto pick, a first-round pick. And I was like, no way. Everyone I've talked to and me watching him on the eye test says this guy is not a lottery pick. Well, whether he was a first-round pick or not, I probably at that time would have even told you he's not even going to be in the first round. Kurt Lowe was dead set this kid was it.
Right.
Last night, the Bucks took him at 17. I had to give Kurt Lowe credit. I was like, you know what, man? I was like, But Joel,
you killed him on national radio.
He still thinks ESPN radio is national radio. He really does. Yeah.
And I love Kurt Lowe, by the way.
I did not want to bust that bubble.
I don't love him.
I thought for sure.
I mean, you guys can kiss his ass.
I'm not kissing his ass. I just think it's funny the way he reacts. Yeah. I think it's hilarious the way he reacts.
I let that go. And then he was IM chatting me. And he was like, do you know how much it means to have your support? I go, Kurt Lowe, I'm not going to like embarrass you until you embarrass yourself. I mean, some of these tweets you put out are pretty outlandish. But you were right there. And I said, I'm not afraid to admit when I was wrong, you're right. It was close enough. He wasn't a lottery pick, but at the same time, he was a first-round pick. I gave him credit. And I still think the guy's going to be a bust, but we'll see. But hey, to his credit, he called it in February, and he was right.
Good for him.
So I gave him his props.
So how did you think the draft went? Did you watch it? Did you guys actually watch it?
Man, I rushed to get like a gift from my dad, and I totally forgot about it. Not even going to lie.
But all you got to do is look at the draft result. I mean,
I just went on Twitter. Yeah,
the better stuff was happening on Twitter. Did you? Well, I know we'll get to it at some point, but the whole Ask Lonzo from L.A., did you see that?
No, was that a hashtag?
Oh, it was a disaster.
He was answering questions.
It was a beautiful, beautiful disaster. It was some of the questions that people were asking were hilarious. So that went bad. Fultz's first Instagram post was a disaster. Did you see that? You saw it, yeah, because I retweeted your retweet of it. But Fultz, so right off the bat, right?
This is funny.
So he gets drafted. He's all excited. And then, and also we'll talk about his taste in food as well. But he gets drafted, and so the first thing he does is he hits that Instagram and he makes a post. And I'm going to read you his post word for word. First Instagram post after being drafted. Quote, excited to head to parentheses city and join the parentheses team name. Tissot.us is helping me get started with my parentheses team name watch. Hashtag this is my time. Hashtag NBA draft. He took a template from this advertiser,
from
this
Tissot,
watch.
The watch company.
Is it Tissot?
Yeah.
From this watch company, I guess. And he doesn't change the template. He was supposed to put his team name, the city, and he didn't do any of that.
I ain't gonna lie. Have you ever done that in an email?
Hilarious. No.
I've done that. I've gotten so many times before,
yeah.
But have you ever done that with millions of people's eyes on you?
Oh, no. That does make a big difference.
I mean, I'm sure I would doubt very seriously that this kid is actually running his Instagram anymore. But if he is, and if, or even if he's not,
he needs
what
to be careful.
Horrible, horrible way to get started.
Now I'm wondering.
That's
because
so embarrassing.
He obviously has a deal with this company. And I'm sure part of it was you're going to promote it on social media. Now, he promoted it on social media, but he didn't exactly do it the right way. Is he still getting the compensation for that part of it?
I think it depends on that company.
I don't know. Does he?
That's what I'm saying. I don't know.
If it says in the contract that if you mess up the Instagram, I think it does. But I think for the most part,
he'll
be all right.
I don't think they're going to say that. But I don't think they're expecting that the kid, because he's probably, they're thinking between him, the agent, and any the handlers around him, someone's going to go, okay, before you post this now, you do have to fill in the blanks. But instead, he just cut and pasted.
But how dumb are you if you don't look at that and know that where it says city and team name, you should have replaced that? It's in parentheses. It stands out within the post itself.
I should tweet that out just to mess with you guys from ESPN.
Yeah,
live,
you should.
The usual suspects. The 1-4.
The parentheses show name are here.
Insert host name here and insert host name here.
Insert dial position and call letters here.
You should do that. Up next is insert show name with name one and name two right here on insert station name. Oh, God, that would be great.
Yeah, so that was
we should have done.
Crazy.
You should do that from the ESPN account and then tag him in it. Do it. Just see what happens.
Literally, there was enough sideshows last night. And then, by the way, the trades and all the things that were going on made it more compelling and interesting, which I loved. Because sometimes it can be really boring. But I think at the end of the day, I don't know if you guys saw it, but I tweeted right before the draft started. Ramona Shelburne was reporting that right before the start of the draft, the Rockets are knee-deep in intense discussions to acquire Paul George from the Pacers. And I was going for a run, and I was like, God, if I get back in the house and they somehow find a way to get Paul George, that's going to be...
I would lose my mind.
That would absolutely trump the entire draft. But then again, like Barry and I talked about yesterday, there's also that Maury factor where they like to pump the key media members full of stuff like this so they look good with their fan base as if they are in the middle of it, even if they're not. Because then they can say, hey, we were talking, but it didn't work out. So I wasn't sure, but then it didn't work out. And then everything after that from Woj and everybody was Indiana was the team trying to get Paul George because Jimmy Butler was already on his way to Minneapolis by that point and the Timberwolves, and that was the talk of the draft. So I was the two draft picks, very uneventful to me. Although we can talk about it, the first of the two, they said if he would have held out one more year of international ball and not declared, he'd have been a lottery pick next year. So maybe they got a steal.
Maybe. We'll I don't know anything about him. Couldn't tell you.
I don't watch basketball. We can talk about it. The show, 713-780-3776. That's our HRNP listener line. You can call, you can text, and we'll be sure to get with you, as well as the friends on Twitter. You can reach us on Twitter, at Barry is Funny, at The Producer Nick, and at Pac-Man Joel with a K. We're the usual suspects. This is ESPN 97.5.
I know who it is.
It's Kareem Jackson, and you listen to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Barry, Nick, and Joel till 4, The Usual Suspects on a Friday. Thank goodness, as we're heading towards the weekend, which is very much welcomed, I think, by all of us. Still talking about the draft last night and a lot of the sideshows that have become as entertaining as the information itself in the draft. And we'll get to the trades and everything in a bit. But as much as I cringed when it was going on and thinking of you two and thinking about a pre-show discussion we're going to have about whether we even bring this guy's name up. He once, not only did LeVar Ball make himself part of the show again.
We should just boo him.
But what's great is the NBA players now are starting to indoctrinate him immediately into you're not in college anymore and you're fair game. And some of the Twitter messages from NBA players were absolutely fantastic. Once Lonzo got drafted, they just started targeting. Like Embiid from Philly was tweeting with Ben Simmons back and forth and going, and finally Embiid said, I just hope you dunk on him like nobody's business and just get on him and pound on it. And they were taking shots at both Papa Bear and Lonzo, but that's exactly what we've been saying. Lonzo's going to pay the price for daddy out of control.
Yeah, he's going to, I have a feeling he's going to get bullied a little bit. Uh-oh, is there someone on fire over there? I'm looking straight ahead.
I see that.
I believe there's fire. Someone call for help. It's not that close, but that's not good. I think LeVar, I mean, he's still not doing his son any favors. You know what I mean? And he's still talking, as I understand it. But I first of all, don't bury the lead here, but did you see the new Showtime release for the sneaker?
Yeah.
That thing is god-awful ugly.
Garbage.
I mean, yeah. I tweeted it. If you want to go look at it, it's horrendous. The colors are terrible. The shoe looks terrible. I tweeted it, and then I tell you what, a lot of the guys that follow me on Twitter were on fire this morning talking about it. Like, you go look at it. It's horrible.
I was telling you guys in the break, the sole of the shoe is the Adidas Bounce sole. The upper, they have elements of the last Kobe Nike made. And the ugliness is straight out of the grandpa walking shoe Steph Curry Under Armour. I mean, it is so awful. But yeah. Again, from a marketing perspective, what better way, as we were talking about, from an exposure standpoint to getting everybody to see it, but to have him debut it in Laker colors on national TV at the draft?
I wouldn't wear that if you gave it to me for free.
Oh, I think
you if would. You were like,
here's you'd have to pay me. You'd have to pay me.
If you were like, here's a swag bag.
Wait a minute. Instead of playing in running shoes, the next 3-on-3,
no,
you have,
I wouldn't.
You, I'd they play gave them to you.
Dude,
you'd
I'd play in chonklas.
Actually, for the shoes, that's a good point.
Yeah, I'm saying.
No, I'd play in chonklas before I played in that. No chonklas. Way.
Well, then you'd have no. Then you'd have three bloody toes and the
fine.
Sock. And
I'd rather. There's no. I'd rather play in them busted ass CP3s that I played in when we all played than play in those raggedy looking shoes, dude.
They are pretty ugly, but still,
they look like corrective shoes. They really do. They look like you got one, like your hips are out of line, and you got one leg like longer than the other one, so you need to wear a Zoe 2 on one side and a Zoe 3.5 on the other to get them all balanced out, get your hips straight. So they don't look right.
So Joel brings up like it looks like the Adidas sole.
Yeah.
With Joel saying that and the fact that he probably, you know, he planned this, obviously, in the event he just didn't want to release it. He just wanted to make sure that Lonzo actually got drafted by the Lakers. I mean, you took that much time to plan it and you can't, and you come up with some, like...
There's some stupid...
Amateur put together shoe, you know what I mean? Like you just slapped a different bunch of parts together.
Well, I was looking at it, I'm like, what the hell is this stitching on the inside? Like on the, where the arch is? There's just random stitching. All over. I'm like, what's the purpose of that?
That'll feel good.
It looks like I don't understand. It's just,
I just want to know how often, how in advance you planned for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Was it like 2 months in the making or 6 months in the making? Or
they knew they were going to the Lakers. I mean, I think they had some sort of guarantee.
I would be willing to bet you they made 3 or 4 shoes. They knew he was going to be top 5. No. I bet you they made,
really?
Yeah.
That's a lot of manufacturing, and then a whole bunch of shoes are going to go to waste. Any.
I bet you they made a Philly shoe. I bet you they made a Boston shoe, an L.A. shoe. I guarantee you they did that.
I would disagree with 5. They might have had one. I think before going into the draft, especially after the second workout with the Lakers, they knew whether it was Boston or Philly, he wasn't going 1 overall. I think he had a pretty good idea.
So you think there was some sort of backup plan at the very minimum?
I would agree with Barry, there was a backup plan. I just don't think there were 5 different shoes because I don't think 5 different teams were that interested in him. I think they all pretty much were dead set. He wasn't getting out of the top 3.
305 said, do you think LeVar Ball will have his own locker and jersey number?
Man, I'll tell you what, because that's the other thing. The NBA players were like, what are the bets that he goes up to meet the commissioner instead of the kid? And then if you saw some of the shots, because ESPN... They fuel this machine because they were interviewing him more than they were interviewing Lonzo.
Yeah.
But half the time while they're interviewing LeVar and he's saying these outlandish things about them making the playoffs next year and what his kid's doing, all this other stuff, you get this look. Lonzo almost looks like Ben Stiller sometimes with his facial expressions. And he just had this like, oh my God, what's he saying look on his face. But he's trying to look cool. That's got to be so awkward. Like, I'm thinking about it when I was a kid. And after I got to a certain age, maybe I didn't say shut up, but I felt good enough to tell my dad pump the brakes in one way or the other.
Yeah, he needs to. Yeah, he really does. This is disturbing. Can I get a shout out to my 16-year-old little brother? Finally got some for the first time today from a 19-year-old woman. Now, I don't know about you guys, but where I'm from, That's statutory rape.
Ah, 16, 19, 19 3 years 16. Difference.
Well, at least it wasn't a teacher, so at least they'll keep it out of the courts.
19 and 16, sir, that's not okay. This is not okay.
At least they're not publicizing it anywhere.
Do I need to turn this over to the authorities?
Yeah, Barry, do the right thing.
I don't feel like this is all right. I know I shouldn't be that way, but that's not all right.
Do the right thing, Barry.
Good for the kid.
No! What?
The 16-year-old was the boy, right?
Yeah.
Good for him.
I mean, yeah.
Good for him. It's 3 years.
It's all fun and games till the parents and authorities
find out. It's illegal, Nick! Whatever. I mean, don't get me wrong. I would have done it at 16 with a 19-year-old and not cared. But it's still... Okay, it's technically...
The 19-year-old needs to be more responsible.
Do the right thing, Barry.
Joel's face. Do the right thing, Barry.
By the way, someone else had their own custom-made shoes last night, and I want to throw a flag on those as well. We'll get to those when we come back from the break. But we are here till 4 o'clock. Usual suspects, if you want to join us, please do 713-780-3776, where you can text and call or hit us up on Twitter, the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5. I'm smacking up. If your girl steps up, I'm smacking up. Word to your moms, I came to drop bombs. I got more rhymes than the Bible's got songs. And just like the prodigal son, I've returned. Anyone step up? ESPN 97.5.
Yeah. Hey, I remember syrup sandwiches and grandma.
This is the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Nick, Barry, Joel, till 4, usual suspects, ESPN 97.5. We were talking about the draft. We started with the first family of hype. LeVar, Lonzo.
Oh, I thought the Kardashians. They're the Kardashians of the NBA.
Well, but the Kardashians all have already dabbled in the NBA. See James Harden last year.
All this fame and haven't done anything yet.
See Tristan Thompson this year.
But I'm just saying, like, they're so famous, they haven't done anything yet. How is they're just like the Kardashians?
You know what's funny to me too, and Nick, I know we have some of the audio, but some of the other audio that I don't know if you have or not, but that they had talked when they talked to him, he's adamant that all three boys are going to end up playing for the Lakers. I'm going to tell you right now. First of all, the middle one looks like the most athletic and strong, but that, I don't know how that translates to. I haven't seen any tape on him, but the youngest one, which I've seen tape, AAU tape and high school tape on, that's the one that had 92 points in a game. But that AAU tape, I hope that was just one really bad day where he didn't get enough sleep and
he's
was
a
off
kid,
his,
though. I mean,
I know, but because LeVar was adamant, I'm going to be doing this two more times. I got two more boys that are going to be drafted in the first round. I'm like, I hope he's right for the sake of the kids.
I'll tell you this: if I have to watch and hear from LeVar Ball between now until his third boy retires from basketball, when they're out. I'll never watch the NBA. I can't. This dude has to go away.
I mean, I didn't check it out. I didn't watch it. But if I'm wanting to check out the NBA draft specifically just to see Lonzo's reaction, LeVar's reaction, he's starting to become that figure.
Interesting you bring that up, Mr. Sciarra. Ratings last night up 13% for the NBA draft.
It's got to be because of LeVar.
They tried to get it. Richard Deitch wrote this for Sports Illustrated. They tried to get it to the specific time where it peaked right after the sixth pick. That's right about the time that he's already been drafted and they're starting to do the interviews with Daddy and him and talk about it even more, that it peaked. As much as we want to say this is an annoying train wreck, it is a marketing machine that keeps moving down the track. He wore the shoes. They got all the exposure. Ratings are up. Take the shoe contract out of it, but I guarantee you this kid's going to have other sponsors knocking on the door to be a part of it.
I don't like it.
I know
you don't like it one bit. Somebody said, Barry, have you seen Lonzo? Of course he needs handicap shoes. That was Matt and Katie. That's not nice, sir.
It wasn't nice.
Barry's just salty. He didn't get any until he turned 30.
Oh boy,
that's not true either. I was 29, and 16-year-old Barry Berry. I already hate this texter. 16-year-old Barry would have bleeped a 19-year-old. Shut the bleep up.
I think
you guys are really being aggressive today, by the way.
Yeah, for a Friday.
I'm sure I got some hate.
But doesn't it really matter, like, what, not just that she's 19, but how she looks?
It's the old, you know, you just slept with a 14-year-old. She told me she was 16, so, like, that's not the same. It's still bad. That's my point. It's still not okay for this lady to be having sex with a 16-year-old. But good for him for getting some. I just would wish it would have been a legal transaction. That's all.
You're not going to do the right thing.
I'm out of it.
You were in it enough to announce it.
And by the way, the first text we got today said, I'm in Dallas-Fort Worth for work today. ESPN Dallas is garbage, is what it says. That's not nice. I would rather listen to LeVar Ball struggle through 50 Shades of Grey. Thanks for ruining all other sports radio, Houston. So it's a compliment. And by saying
in a roundabout way.
Yeah, that we do good stuff on this station and that the others are trying to play catch up to us.
Yeah. Before we get to Damon, who I believe wants to support the Ball family.
I already don't like Damon.
I'll let you guys duke that out. I've gotten it enough worse for a week. But the other shoe I was bringing up was Markelle Fultz actually had shoes made out of basketball material last night that I questioned if they really were basketball material, but they were pretty good looking shoes. Dress shoes, kind of like that Cole Haan look with the off-white bottom with like the basketball colored uppers.
Okay.
They're pretty stylish.
I'm going to disagree with you.
You didn't like them?
I didn't like them.
I thought they were right down your alley.
No, I wouldn't wear anything like that. They look not even
with white jeans?
They look like tap shoes. You ever seen tap dancing shoes? They look like tap shoes. Like I was expecting them to do some Fred Astaire.
Can we tweet those too?
The shoes? Yeah, I'll find them.
Yeah, I want to get people's opinion on that.
Okay.
In the meantime, we won't waste up too much time with it, but I thought they were actually decent looking. We can get your thoughts on that. In the meantime, Nick, let's bring Damon in here and see what he's got to say. Damon, what's up?
What's going on, fellas?
How you doing, man?
Say, Barry, man, why you got to talk about me like that, man? All I said was I support the Ball family, man. Look, I love what this man is doing. He's a strong black father. Too many times we see the media, or at least in my opinion, we see the media highlighting athletes who fathers aren't around, and they love to put up stories about drug addicted fathers and fathers in jail, etc. So I love that this man is a great father to his three children. He got the oldest son to the NBA with his own shoe contract or deal. I think that is monumental. Just think if Serena Williams and Venus Williams' father had that type of idea. I think the man is genius, and I don't understand the hate because the media, in my opinion, created it because they stick microphones in his face all the time, and then they criticize and complain what he's saying on the mic. All he's doing is giving the people or giving the news stations or whatever platform he's on, all he's doing is giving them what they're asking for. So I don't understand where the hate is generated from.
Well, Damon,
a proud father saying, I think his son is going to make the playoff. He's doing it in a manner in which the media is enticing him to do.
Well, Damon, let's be real. The media didn't create LeVar Ball. They're perpetuating what he does, but he created this himself.
Good point.
There are plenty of guys out there that talk to the media that don't act like a-holes like he's acting. There are plenty of guys out there, plenty of supportive dads that aren't trying to steal the limelight from their sons and making this about him. He's making this about him.
How many fathers got interviewed yesterday? It's only one father.
Exactly.
Why?
You're making my point.
Why? Because the media wants him to perform. So he's giving you what he wants.
How many dads were there? He's making this about him.
The Aaron Fox dad was there. I saw a lot of dads. Everybody in the green room had fathers or father figures there, but they only actually speak to one man.
And how many of them
is doing a great job with his son?
No, that man is doing a great job of marketing.
I love the fact that everybody's hating on him, and everything he said he was going to do and everything he said is going to happen is happening, and I love that fact because...
Not everything. He don't have a shoe deal yet.
Damon, he's funding his own... No, he's funding it himself. He's trying to fund it himself, and then he's trying to make up for that by selling them for $500 a pair. Damon, I hear what you're saying about the father figure in his life, being a supportive father, that's great. Do you not see a combination WWE / Skip Bayless in all of this, too, to Barry's point?
Stop putting mics in his face.
Even if you did, he would find a way. He's found a way to find outlets hungry enough to put the story out there.
Don't put him on.
I don't disagree that ESPN made him part of the story last night. Totally agree with that.
Right. And I don't think he's – and to my last point about the tweets from the NBA players, they were going to come at his head anyway. What number one pick number two pick or top five pick they're not trying to come at? You think people are going to be coming at Mark's head because he's the number one pick?
But David, they're not talking about it because none of these other dads are out there.
That gets hype, people coming at their head. When Allen Iverson came in the league, people was talking. They want to come at his head. Any hype player that comes in the league, the old school veteran guys are going to try to go
Damon, the
head.
Difference is
Kyrie Irving is
Damon, slow down.
Bro, you got to let us talk, too.
Damon, slow down or we're going to cut it.
You got okay. It's got to be a two-way conversation, yeah. Damon. If you're going to talk, you got to let us talk.
Here's the thing: Allen Iverson did not come in talking smack until he established himself in the league, and his dad was nowhere to be found. The thing is, where is Lonzo in all this? Has he ever spoken up? Has he been outlandish? Has he been talking junk to people? Has he been talking about how he's going to be the next Magic Johnson? No. He's just coming out in the. He's so far in the background, but without the kid, he's no. LeVar is nothing without Lonzo, and you haven't heard one word from Lonzo. Not one word. And I think he's starting to get a little bit worried about the fact that the undercurrent's going to be we're going to start abusing this kid because of his dad. It's not because he's not a good kid. You know, you hear from the UCLA guys that drafted last night, Leaf and the other guys saying, hey, one of the best teammates I ever played with. Unbelievable court vision, really good point guard, leader. That all gets buried because the story is the dad and his mouth and his marketing and the outlandishness. You don't want that. The kid can make a name for himself. He was the number two pick in the draft.
But I also think that Damon thinks that people are like really hating on him. And yeah, if you go on Twitter, there's some crazy people out there. But for the most part, when you talk about the media, they're not necessarily hating on him. They're just criticizing his approach. Like he's saying, oh, he's just going around being a good father, trying to make a big name for all his fathers, and then they want to complain. They're not really complaining. They're criticizing his approach because he's making his son a target, and that is questionable. Now, I don't think anybody's necessarily like, I'm not attacking him as a person. We are questioning his approach and how he's dealing with his son, and I think that's one thing that needs to be clarified for Damon.
Bro, are you attacking him as a person?
Who, the dad?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not attacking him as a person. I'm attacking him for trying to make this about him. Mm-hmm. I don't care what kind of person he is. That means nothing to me. What I don't like is that he's making the entire NBA look like a circus. He's trying to. I mean, he's making all of this, this whole thing, this whole process is a circus now. Mm-hmm. And he's turning it about him and not his son. Because if it was about his son, then that's what this would be about.
That's what I'm saying.
It's not. You rarely do you hear him talk about what's best for his son. What he talks about is big baller brand, shoe deals, playoffs, where he's going to play. He never talks about, I just want him to be happy. I just want him to do what he wants to do. And whatever that is and whatever he achieves, I'm good with it. This dude has a plan that he wants to make happen.
You're missing one important thing, too.
What?
As he's got it in the different layers of this, the one that really agitates me is he got a high school coach fired.
Yep.
He took shots at UCLA's program and the white players in the starting lineup because they weren't good enough around his son to be better. You know, if he was just about the marketing and trying to get the shoe deal and stuff like that, you could accept a lot of this, but the stuff that's hard to digest is the negativity where it affects other people's, their jobs, you know, the outlook on certain things. That's where I got a problem with it.
I'm already mad we talked about him this much, I'll be honest with you.
Well,
it just
I got news for you.
God.
All right, so right now I want to tell you before we get to any more of this about my good friends at Gallery Furniture. You want to talk about winners? You want to talk winners that have lasted in Houston for over 36 years? It's Mattress Mack and all the people at Gallery Furniture. They now have three locations around the Houston area. They have Grand Parkway between Sugarland and Katy. They also have the Galleria location, Westheimer and Post Oak. And, of course, the mainstay, I-45 North exit, Tidwell Parker. And you can find the best deals on solid wood, American-made living room, dining room furniture, quality furniture across the board for every room in your house, and it's going to last. And the other thing is you're going to get customer service before, during, and after the sale, and if you buy today, you get it tonight. Mac guarantees it. It's not just blowing smoke. It's telling you the truth. You buy it today, within 3 to 4 hours, they'll deliver it. You want something moved out of the way or taken away in the process of moving the new furniture in? His guys will take care of it. That's how they do business. And they want you to be return customers. They've been in Houston for over 36 years. They want you to keep coming to Gallery Furniture. And if your Astros win it all and you buy $3,000 of furniture right now or more, you can get that furniture free. All the Astros have to do is finish the deal and win the whole thing. Details are on galleryfurniture.com. But overall, if you want great furniture at great prices with great customer service that'll keep you coming back for more, Mac doesn't lie when he says Gallery really will save you money.
ESPN 97.5.
Nothing can stop me. I'm all the way up.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Oh, Nick said hot. I was waiting for Barry to give start one more cussing. Comment. Yeah, and start cussing. That would be the norm for this week.
Yeah.
So we're back. You know, I was thinking about all this, and seriously, I mean, the issues. Look, the Skip Bayless part of this whole thing is the hype machine. And you understand him thinking that he's better than Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan now is old. He challenged Charles Barkley. Charles Barkley has an artificial knee and an artificial hip. I mean, that'd be like watching, you know, Jarrett Tallball.
How is that about his son, right? Like, I could beat Jordan. I could beat Barkley. I was this. That has nothing to do with being a good father to your son. Right. It's just you being an a-hole and wanting attention.
And think about it, Barry. The other thing is the AAU team, when his son was playing bad, he stepped in front of the coach and started yelling at all these young kids. Mm. That's not a good look.
You got
the high school coach fired.
That's Honey Boo Boo's mom type stuff, bro.
Exactly. It's just over the top. I understand that everybody wants to say, hey, this is good parenting. Well, good parenting would be, you know, support. Hey, we're building this brand. But kind of the whole sideshow around it gets to be a little too much.
Yeah. Harrison Lee said, LeVar Ball's the FS1 as a human. He's FS1. That's pretty funny.
It pretty much is. Did you notice that? Like FS1 has to sports has become what like Fox News is to.
Yeah. 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 Well, go figure. It's Fox.
Yeah. Shock that. So I'm going to let you pick the callers that are lined up to get in here.
You go first. You know who it is.
Is that who you want?
Yeah. Blitzer Chase said, love the show, Barry, Joel, and Nick. Keep it up.
Appreciate it, buddy.
On the text.
Okay. So Barry.
Do it.
Kurt Lowe, my man, who missed his shout-outs earlier in the show. Kurt Lowe, welcome to National Radio.
Now, Kurt Lowe, before you get started, before you even start, I'm going to ask you, did you unblock me on Twitter?
Oh, I forgot about that.
All right, well, you've got to call back when you unblock me. I told you last time I told you last time when you called that you had me blocked on Twitter, and that was childish. And you should unblock me or I'm going to block you from the phone calls. So you didn't unblock me on Twitter, so you don't get the call. Who's next? Benny, what's up? Benny, go.
Hey, what's going on, gentlemen? I'll try to be as quick as possible.
Take your time, Benny. You are not on the clock. You're okay.
Yeah. Go ahead, man. What's up?
All right. I may be connecting dots that aren't there, but instead of the hype side of it, I'm looking at a potential business side of the LeVar Ball influence. Looking at the track record, he has considerable influence over what decisions get made over his kids and where they play and so forth. He's with the shoe launched already, purple and gold. Obviously, they had inside information as to knowing that they're going to be with the Lakers and also not working out for other teams, yada, yada, yada. LeVar's also spoken about how all three of his sons are going to play for the Lakers. Does that actually reveal the Lakers' bargaining chips for future draft picks and allow teams to block them out, draft one of the Balls, and then extort for a trade for higher talent from the Lakers in order for the Balls to be completed? Because I'm pretty sure LeVar's going to keep running his mouth until all three of his kids are on the Lakers. I figured that might empower some teams to stick it to the Lakers in a business sense.
I mean, I could see the line of thinking, but I don't think so, because I don't think that you're going to see GMs and owners get caught up in this like everyone else is. You know what I mean? They're not going to let LeVar Ball dictate what they do from any standpoint, whether it's him saying all three of his sons are going to play for the Lakers or it's another team trying to use that to their advantage by drafting one of his sons for the express purpose of holding them as ransom. Now you're letting him manipulate what other teams do, and I don't think he would do
that. Let's factor a lot of the other factors in. Let's get some of these things out of the way, right? One, this is a blueprint right now. If he starts to become overbearing with kid number one, there's no way in hell 2 and 3 are ever going to sniff the Lakers, and a lot of the teams are going to have red flags, okay? Two, this isn't a fairy tale land. So the bottom line is, it may be everybody's fairy tale dream to have all three play together, but reality as opposed to the fairy tale land are completely different things. And reality is, if these kids can play, and they have to prove that they can play, and play at this level, other teams are going to have them highly sought after and say, if you want to play in this league, you're going to play for me. You're not going to be Peyton Manning or John Elway. You're not going to hold the league for ransom. I'm sorry, Eli Manning or John Elway. You're not going to hold the league for ransom. You're not going to get what you want. And if the Lakers are so desperate, then they're going to have to really give up to get. And I don't think the Lakers are going to do that either. But it all hinges on these kids still have to prove they can play.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm sitting here going through my mind what he said about all three kids are going to play for the Lakers. And my first thought was, if the middle son is that good, then how is he going to get drafted if the Lakers are supposed to make the playoffs per Mr. Ball? But then I'm thinking, well, maybe the son isn't that good and he falls to the middle half of the draft, where if he is right and they do make the playoffs, that's probably where they'll be drafting. Boy, that would piss me off so bad if he ends up being right about both. Can I just tell you, I would lose my mind. I would want to jump out of this window if A, the Lakers made the playoffs, and B, they landed in a position to be able to draft the second son. Oh, God, I would hate him so much for that.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. You're absolutely right. But when you look at it and say, regardless of, take the Lakers, you can take all you want in terms of the Lakers are going to, you want your sons, all three sons, to play with the Lakers. But with big boy pants on in the real man's world, the chances of that happening, yeah, slim and none. The Barry boys, did they ever play together? No, not even two of them. So the fact of the matter is, you can wish it all you want. You can want it to happen. But the Lakers aren't going to give up a king's ransom to get another one.
No.
And teams, if these guys really can play, teams aren't going to be quick to get rid of them.
Because next thing he's going to say is with three of his sons in the Lakers, he should be coaching. That's going to be next. And by the way, somebody said, that's what he's supposed to do. Mayweather would be broke if it wasn't for his loud mouth. No, Mayweather's a good boxer, too.
Yeah.
There's a difference. Mayweather can back it up in the ring when he steps in there. LeVar Ball ain't stepping on the NBA court, and now he's putting the pressure on his sons to back up checks that his mouth is writing. And then the texter followed up with, oh, and you don't have to like him, Barry. How about that? You do not have to like his approach. He's not here for you to like. He has a plan, and he's executing that plan. I'm sorry, but it's called an opinion, bro. I could not like
again,
the dude.
I feel like
I absolutely can think it's an idiot.
Liking his approach and not liking his as a person. I feel even in that text right there, you can kind of see the mix up. He's confusing not liking his approach and not liking him as a person. And people are all think we're piling on LeVar. It's not. He's made himself a name in the news, and we're giving an opinion.
Here's a guy that played college basketball, averaged 2 points a game. Here's a guy that's so far off of anyone's radar. The only reason why he's on the radar is his son. His son has never stepped on an NBA court. Right? Before he's even stepped on an NBA court, it's the outlandishness that keeps the media keep coming back, right? $500 for a pair of shoes, turning down Nike, Under Armour, and Adidas, saying he needs a $1 billion deal. You can't sign the two younger kids to the deal because when they go to play college ball, they have to be amateur status.
Yeah.
And they have to wear the shoes that are part of the college program. There's so many different layers to this, but you're right. It's not about who he is as a parent and a person. It's how he's got him, everybody portraying him because of his outlandish behavior once he got a microphone in front of him. And we know sensationalism and all this stuff sells. So that's why ESPN's interviewing him. That's why he's at the draft in a suit. It's why all this stuff is happening. But it doesn't mean it's okay. I don't think Barry ever took a personal shot at who he is as a person. It's just, it's his plan and how he's executing it.
I mean, even if I did, I'm not going to back down from that either. He's a Kardashian. That's what he is. He's the NBA Kardashian, and it drives me nuts, and I don't like it. And for every one person that disagrees with me, there's, you know, your friendly neighborhood beer salesman texting the show that says, get him, Barry. I can't stand BBB. That's what I'm saying. Like, this dude's a polarizing figure. You're either going to like him or you're going to hate him. And I happen to not like the dude.
I just feel for the kid who's never said a word, never talked a bunch of crap, never.
That's the bad part.
Yeah, never come close to being anybody that's a trash talker.
Because his Foot Locker commercial was outstanding.
Fantastic. Where and they should have left it right there.
You could see the marketing team spinning this to try to get their son, get him away from the dad. Yep. And then here comes his dad again, stealing that limelight. Oh, well, I know you're trying to distance yourself from me, but hey, let's make this about me as much as possible. It's BS.
Yeah, I don't see Lonzo, and he even in the Foot Locker commercial, to your point, Barry, but I don't see Lonzo going, I'm better than LeBron. I can't wait to go one-on-one with him because I'm ripping him a new one.
He's not stupid. He's not going to do that.
And you know what? I think
his dad will, though.
I think he's a little, he won't admit it, but he's probably a little afraid because he knows that these guys are going to be gunning for him. He's got to be a little nervous. Yeah. And it's all because of stuff he didn't do. That's the worst part about this. So we'll see how it goes. I know you guys are lining up. By the way, Kurt Lowe says, last time I call your show, Joel, Barry on it with his ego is beyond his head. Good luck on your show.
My ego.
I said, dude, all you got to do is unblock him. Then you can call back.
My ego. That's what it is. It's my ego. That's why I don't want to take Kurt Lowe's call. My ego is out of control. I'm the LeVar Ball of the Usual Suspects.
Nick, LeVar, and Joel until 4. Right now, I want to tell you about my friends at Infuse Energy. Josh Peshnikoff and his staff do a fantastic job of making sure that they take care of you, the customer, in every way possible, starting with the fact that they don't have an automated system. They have human beings that are concerned with your needs, whether it be business or professional or for your own family, on energy. And then to make sure that you never get screwed around just so that they can make a buck. They're 100% honest. They're going to listen to your needs. They're going to make a plan for your energy needs that fits you and or your business and or your family. And then they're going to be accessible throughout the process so that if you ever have questions or you ever have issues, they can try and help you along the way. It's a great plan by a great locally owned company, and it's 100% green energy at your fingertips. You sign up and choose a green plan. It offsets your electricity use with renewable energy credits, and that helps to decrease your carbon footprint. And on top of that, you mentioned ESPN 97.5, and right off the top, you get $25 bill credit. It's fantastic. They even put little jokes on the bill every month, and sometimes they're funny, and sometimes they just make me read them on commercials. But either way, we have fun with it because that's what we want to do. We want to have lighthearted fun while getting you the best energy at the best possible prices without trying to screw you around ever. Josh, actually, the owner of the company, is the guy that puts the jokes on the bill, and he'll tell you right now, it's all because of the fact that he wants to make sure he has a connection with you, the customer. Give him a call, 844-INFUSE2. That's 844-463-8732 or infuseenergy.com.